John Paul Morosi. He's a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. He joins us. John, should people be concerned at all about how the Blue Jays went into the or are going into the postseason?
Maybe a little bit, Jeff. Maybe just a little bit. I think that, first of all, I would want to absolve John Gibbons of any conversation about, well, should he have rested the regulars in back-to-back games? I mean, to me, that was a no-brainer. I think, obviously, they were not going to play in the second half of the doubleheader, the night of the clincher, and then it's been baseball custom forever, and the veterans, I'm sure, were expecting it, that they would get the next day off. So, and they did, and I think that was deserved as well when you have what I believe is, at last time I checked, the second oldest roster in the major leagues. I mean, this is on average age. I think it's the second oldest after only the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an older roster that I think certainly needed a bit of a break. Did they enter the postseason with a lot of momentum? No, obviously. But I think overall it was more important to get a little bit of a breather for these guys down the stretch than it was to really keep the accelerator on. The one concern I'll have for you guys is that now all of a sudden they clinched the division, I believe it was Wednesday night. So now you basically go a week without playing a game that truly, and obviously, you know, even before then they probably had a sense it was coming, obviously. So they haven't had to play a desperate baseball game in a while. And I do think that the Rangers obviously had to play one yesterday. So I think sometimes you lose a little bit of that sharpness just because of the fact that you clinch a little bit earlier and maybe you have things wrapped up. So that's maybe part of the concern, but I think overall, on measure, you had to get that rest time for your older players.
In watching baseball, John, is there anything that you would discern as a pattern in terms of teams? What teams, when teams thrive in the postseason? You know, the way they finish the season has to do with how they, and like I'm thinking I can come up with examples that would essentially support any position, you know, that it matters, that it doesn't matter,
sure.
That, you know, that it's better to play the wild card game because you're fresher, that it's worse to play the wild card game because you got to use your best pitcher there. But do you have any kind of rule of thumb in terms of who thrives in the postseason and who doesn't?
I do a little bit, Stephen, and to your point about the wild card game, I think I may have mentioned this before, that the wild card game winners, since the new format came into being in 2012, the wild card game winners have a better record than the number one overall seed, mm-hmm. in those first round games since that came into being in 2012. Again, it's a small sample size, but the wild card game winners are 14-12 against the top seeds, including 6-1 last year. Remember, the Angels didn't even win a game against the Royals, and then the Nationals lost 3-4 to the Giants. So I think that is a very instructive, I think, data point about just the value of that momentum and just staying sharp. I mean, the wild card game winners, I think, for example, they'll play on Tuesday, let's say, and even if it's the Astros, that's where, to me, the Astros have become a dangerous team a little bit if they win that game, because then all of a sudden, hey, they weren't supposed to be here. Now they've won that game on Tuesday, let's say, if they win it. Then they go to Kansas City, and the Royals now all of a sudden are a team that's supposed to win. And so I think that when you come into the favorites ballpark, knowing that you only really have to get a split and you'll feel really good about yourself, and you're not supposed to win anyway, I think there's a real danger in that. We saw that last year, obviously, in both wild card game winners going on to the play in the World Series. So I think the one thing I would say, Stephen, as well, in addition to the momentum of the wild card, is I always like to pick teams that put the ball in play. I think that's the one thing where, if you're like the Royals did last year and the Giants last year as well, the Giants, they typify this better than probably any team over the last decade, the last 5 years. I think you see a team that, I wouldn't call it slump-proof, but I think the teams that are really susceptible to having a really difficult offensive series, and obviously I live here in Michigan, so I saw it firsthand, the Tigers, where mm-hmm. they've had layoffs because they were not really a very athletic, create offense, a lot of guys that get in motion on the bases and steal bases and manufacture runs. When they had those long layoffs, they were always bad because they were a big swinging team that didn't really have a lot of dynamic elements to their offense. And that's why the Rangers, I think, potentially could be a dangerous team for the Jays to play, because Elvis Andrus, his base running has gotten back, and Odor can certainly wreak some havoc on the bases a little bit. DeShields does that a little bit. And then, of course, they still have the power. So I like the offenses, Stephen, to me, that can beat you in a couple different ways, because if maybe the power is a little bit slow for a day or two because they're out of practice, the speed can sometimes save you a game, and I like those kinds of offenses. And the Cardinals, of course, are the same way. The Cardinals have been doing that certainly for many years, why they've been so good in the playoffs, is that they've never been too reliant on the long ball, and they're very, very good at manufacturing runs.
And, John, one of the you pointed that out about the Texas Rangers, and one of the reasons I think it was hugely important, and this kind of got overlooked during the weekend, but to me, one of the reasons it was hugely important that Troy Tulowitzki was able to get back at it is you have to play good defense against Texas, because they're baseball's version of a team that puts a full court press on you. I mean, that's just the way they are. And if you've got Tulowitzki and Goins, you are much better defensively than if you have Goins and Pennington. It's not even close.
Right. And Jeff, that's the way the Royals got to the World Series last year. That's when they got to the seventh game, is they played superb defense. And I think the Jays, you look at what they've done with Pilar and Revere and Bautista, one of the better defensive outfields, I think, in the game. Donaldson, we know what he does over at third. So, I mean, and Russell obviously does a very good job of controlling the running game behind the plate. So when you look at the totality of what the Jays can do, you're right. Defense is a huge part of their game, and sometimes it might be overlooked. We look at the power, and we have this conceptualization of what they are, and say, oh, they just hit a lot of home runs. Well, they actually are one of the better defensive teams in the game, and the Royals, of course, are still one of the best defensive teams in the game as well. So I think you look at the way those two teams play defense, both the Jays and the Royals, I think that there's a very good case to be made that they may well meet in the ALCS for that very reason. And I think you're right. I mean, I saw that game on Saturday. I was there in Arlington. And that fifth inning rally that the Rangers had, they just built and built and built because the Angels didn't make a couple plays. You have got to make your plays. If you give extra outs in October, that's usually your downfall. And I think that the teams that have had success, the Cardinals, the Giants, you look last year, that Royals team, again, all very sound defensive clubs that simply did not give extra outs.
So handicap the LDS, the Jays Texas series here, John, and understanding that, though, you know, both teams, you know, Texas got hot down the stretch, very, you know, played kind of similar, had similar numbers to the Jays, wins, losses the last month and a bit, struggled a little bit to close out the division at the end. But, you know, if you look at, now that we know that this is the matchup and we know essentially what the pitching matchups are going to be, break this one down.
You know, Stephen, I'm tempted, and I will say right now, I'll pick the Jays to win the series, but this is going to be a tough one. I think for a couple reasons. I think the one reason why I think the deciding factor for me in going with the Jays is that, of course, the Rangers had to use Hamels yesterday, and so now they may have to bump up. They may have to go with either what's been an underwhelming right-handed starter, Colby Lewis or Giovanni Gallardo, earlier than they want. And then, of course, they probably, if they go with their best starters, let's say right now, if they go with the guys that have thrown the ball the best lately, that would include three lefties. It would include Hamels, Holland, and Martin Perez. And if that's the case, you'd have to figure, if you're going to tell me the Jays are going to get basically four games in a five-game series in the division series and face lefties in four of those five games, you'd like their chances, right? Of all the righty power. So I think that's one thing. I think the Rangers' bullpen was taxed pretty heavily down the stretch. I mean, they had to throw a lot of innings, and I think that there is a little bit of variability there. But then again, Stephen, I would say, too, the Jays bullpen, I think there are still, you know, it's been so good, you know, really throughout the second half, but still some questions for me, because that's a very, very good Rangers lineup. And now all of a sudden Osuna has the one tough game over the weekend. How does he respond to that? It's going to be really interesting to see how that Jays bullpen comes out. I think it's a coin toss. I have serious concerns, I think, about both bullpens as well as they've pitched. I do have my doubts about both. And I think, as you guys were touching on earlier, I think, you know, David Price, he's got to be the Cy Young candidate, David Price, I think, if the Jays are going to win this series, because I think they're probably going to need him to win certainly at least once and maybe even twice. I just think that he is going to have to really, that postseason experience that he has, he's, of course, you know, he's faced this Texas club, you know, certainly in the playoffs before. So he's a guy that's going to have to really come up and be huge for them in the playoffs.
And as much as the Texas Rangers are running out all those left-handed pitchers, it's got to be said that if you look at the meat of the Jays' order, Jose Bautista is a lifetime 198 hitter in Arlington. Edwin is a lifetime 193 hitter. Josh Donaldson's a lifetime 248 hitter in Arlington. So, and we know what that ballpark's like. But
right.
I mean, that just gets to your point. I think this is. Quite frankly, I'm not one of those people who looks at every series and goes, okay, it's going to go the maximum. But you know what? I think this series is going to go the maximum.
I agree. And I think it's going to be potentially the little things that decide it. Again, we talked about defense, you know, base running. I would say when you talk about stolen bases, probably the Rangers might be a little bit more adept at creating that type of offense late in the game to tie a game or take the lead than the Jays, because the Jays simply, they've scored so many runs, they haven't really had to play those styles of games all that often. They basically, who's to blame them? I mean, they basically simply keep running those guys up there and see when the three-run homer comes, which is obviously based on the fact they won the division, a pretty good strategy. So it's really going to be interesting, guys. I mean, the postseason baseball is such a different, style of play. It really almost, there are times it almost feels like a different sport than you play during the regular season. And I think the Jays, obviously they have a lot of veteran players on their team, so I'm sure they'll be ready for it. But it's interesting that they don't have a lot of veteran players that have extensive track records of success in the playoffs. I mean, they have a handful, but not really that many. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they respond to it. And as you say, listen, Texas is a place you should be able to be comfortable hitting. It's kind of funny to hear those numbers on those key hitters, because it's not what you would expect based on how talented they are, and of course the hitting environment there. And the other thing, guys, I would say is how do the Jays handle the atmosphere at Rogers Center on Thursday and Friday, especially Thursday. Your first playoff game in Canada in 22 years, we know what that anthem, what the emotion is going to be like. At any point in time, does that add pressure, or do they use that behind them? That to me is going to be the interesting thing, because sometimes we've seen it before in baseball. Baseball is the one major sport, where you cannot play better by trying harder.
It's
often the worst thing you can do. And I think sometimes when players get in really emotional situations, they do try harder, and they overswing, and it's not good.
So I
think that's where David Price is a huge tone setter there, and just the at-bats, I think it's that deep breath is going to be so important, because we know what that place is going to be like on Thursday, and I'm just really interested to see how the hitters just handle that keyed-up atmosphere on Thursday night.
You know, I got a theory about that, though. It's been nuts down there for a month, right? It's been really nuts down there for a month. I think it might be a little less nuts on Thursday because of who's going to be there.
Well, and I also think...
It's because of the, you know, it's suddenly you can't... Like, a lot of those people who got to those games in the last month, I guarantee you they couldn't get a ticket for the playoffs, or they couldn't afford a ticket for the playoffs. And I think it's going to be a different kind of a crowd and a slightly more sedate crowd than we've seen.
Well, I also think the other thing, too, it's going to be a more nervous crowd than we've seen.
True.
I mean, the crowds that we've seen at the Rogers Center down the stretch, I mean, they were just fueled by, my God, we're going to the playoffs. My God, we're going to the playoffs. Now it's, oh, my God, we're in the playoffs. Big difference.
Now we're supposed to win, right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is the way it looks when you talk about, well, the Jays have home field, the Jays are the division champions.
Exactly. Now you're cheering for the favorites. You're no longer cheering for the team trying to get to the playoffs for the first time in 22 years. You're cheering for the team that is expected to advance through the playoffs. Listen, John, we're going to scoot. By the way, we're going to be hearing more from you. I understand you will be a guest on MLB Central and our postseason preview show tomorrow night from lovely Kansas City. I will look forward to that.
Yes, I will be there. And if the Jays prevail, Jeff, in round one, my hope is I will be visiting your beautiful city there for the ALCS. Yeah.
Dinner's on us.
All right, sounds great, guys. Looking forward to it.